You are listening to iRadio TT, online all the time.
Welcome to Music Matters, the Caribbean edition, the podcast series featuring news, interviews, and analysis of all the music from the islands.
Welcome to Music Matters. I'm Nigel Campbell.
And I'm Laura Dowrich Phillips.
And this is our first podcast in this infamous Music Matters, the Caribbean edition. So Laura, yes. Tell us why we're here.
Well, Nigel and our listeners, we are here to talk about the business of music in the Caribbean.
Yes.
You know, we just want to let people know what is going on the music scene, how intricate it really is. Because I don't think, Nigel, people have a real appreciation of Caribbean music. Music industry in the Caribbean.
And as well as understanding that music is more than just fun. I mean, we are writers, we're journalists, we'd be a say in the Caribbean. But additionally, I think we have to recognize that there's a business that exists here. There's an industry that exists here.
Yes.
And being part of an industry and letting everybody know that, we're just more than a fet.
Yes, we are. We are. And our artists work very hard. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time and investment that goes into developing their products. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different types of products that are being created. It's not just soca. It's not just dancehall. It's not just reggae. Mm-hmm. The Caribbean is a melting pot of sounds. So all of that is what we want to expose, bring to the fore, mm-hmm. and educate you, the listening public.
Laura Dowrich. Yeah, all right. So for topic number one, we actually have a two-parter. So this is part one of a double topic. We're discussing soca music.
Because it's Carnival.
Well, Carnival is around the corner in Trinidad, and we'll try our best to make sure this comes up before Carnival.
Yeah, we will.
Right.
So it's Carnival. We are based in Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. It's January. We are really into the Carnival season because it's only 6 weeks before. It's only 6 weeks for the Carnival season this year. It's very short season.
February 12th and 13th.
So we decided we are going to start our podcast talking about soca music.
Yes, as a global phenomenon.
Yes, it's no longer just it was invented here, yes, mm-hmm. but it's no longer just a Trinidad and Tobago product.
To me, it's a Caribbean product.
It is. It's the sound of the Caribbean.
Well, there's that definition. But clearly and truly, what is happening, as you notice, a lot of the producers are now spread out beyond our Trinidad space.
Yes.
And we have producers from St. Lucia, from Barbados, from St. Vincent, Kobayashi, Red Boys,
Grenada,
Antigua.
And even Jamaica.
This is what I understand. Mm-hmm. And what is happening is that some of these rhythms that are kind of native to those islands have not kind of been incorporated into what we're doing now.
Yes.
And we have a song and a feel that is just beyond simply what Shorty and Pelham Goddard mm-hmm. and those early pioneers were thinking about when they were fomenting soca in the studios and things.
Yes.
So that during this interview, we'll also have some interviews with some artists and others.
And others.
To discuss what soca is in the Caribbean.
Yes.
And where we're going in the future.
Yes. So we're talking about some of the influences. Mm-hmm. This Carnival, especially, we're hearing the regional sound
yes.
of soca, and mm-hmm. one of them is the Denery segment.
Tell me about the Denery
from
segment.
St. Lucia.
From St. Lucia. Yes.
So the Denery segment is a rhythm, is a sound that mm-hmm. was developed in a community in St. Lucia called Denery.
Yes,
Laura, I know you did an interview with St. Lucian producer Motto, Hotman producer right now, some time ago. So let's just hear a piece of it.
Tell me about Denery segment. Who started it? When it started.
Okay, so Denery segment, the whole the idea of it mm-hmm. is influenced by Cuduro music from Angola.
Right.
You understand? So a lot of these Angolan and African kind of fast paced beats, like, it really dominated St. Lucia for a good while.
Right.
Or I would say maybe close to 10, 11 years
right.
ago.
Right.
And so moreover, like, when it started dominating the island, we started like replicating those beats, the sounds of the beats, basically.
Okay.
Understand? And we started putting our own vibe to it. We started adding the Creole lyrics and
right.
our, you know, and then the whole vibe kind of changed, and they wanted to make it obviously St. Lucia want to make it theirs.
Right.
You understand? But it's influenced from Cuduro music from Angola.
I spoke to the producer who started it out of Studio 911, I believe is the name of the studio. His mm-hmm. name is Jaheem. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that a lot of people call it the Lucian Cuduro because there's a belief that it is mixed with Cuduro and dancehall.
Yes.
But he said that is not accurate. Mm-hmm. It really is a sound that he heard his grandfather and his friends, they used to sing these folk songs.
Okay.
So he took the sound from that mm-hmm. and developed, I think there were probably other influences, and mm-hmm. developed this thing called the Denery segment, which has been really bubbling on the St. Lucian underground for a long time.
How long so going on?
It's probably about 5-6 years or so.
Wow.
But it's like a young people mm-hmm. kind of music. So the lyrics mm-hmm. to this music was very what's the word I'm looking
raw.
For? Raw. Yeah. A good example of that is the split in the middle.
Split in the middle, make the two toys jiggle, type on a table, my girl, I know you able, split in the middle, make the two toys jiggle, type on a table, my girl, I know you able, control bombade, face bombade, sit down in my chair, suque bombade, one foot in the air, one hand holding back, with one flick in your head.
You know, that's a good example, right?
That's obvious, yeah.
And but yes, raw.
So it's so, like dancehall in a sense.
It's like dancehall. It's like dancehall in a sense. So the lyrics were really, really raw. Mm. It wasn't really accepted by, you know, the solution, the known recognized producers and artists and
now,
that kind
that,
of thing.
That sounds very much like how soca was. I didn't even remember when soca first started. It had this, people were protesting, and among those was Kitchen Himes and Lord Pretender, and a lot of Calypsonians, they were against the whole idea of soca. They said, you dilute in Calypso music.
Yes.
It's not real music.
We sing true Calypso.
True Calypso.
A good theme and good lyrics.
Well, boy.
No, they ain't rhyming. The lyrics, anyhow. And the music singing for them. Most thing is the music. A man sing a line, the music play 5 minutes.
That's a soca. A stronger beat with less lyrics.
I can't understand it at all. Friends, I wonder if you really know how hard it is to present your own guy. So you have to get an idea, then a good composition with sweet music and proper rendition. After you finish all that, you're still not at ease. You have a demanding audience to please. You are to always come good by public demand to be accepted as a true, true Calypsonian.
Ironically, Kitchener in a couple years' time brings out one of the biggest soca songs at that time, Sugar Bum Bum.
Yes.
And that is iconic and historic and thing. But such is life. Soca is now the music that drives carnival and drives carnivals throughout the Caribbean and thing. And it's there, and as I said, even with dancehall has its detractors. The media used to be very much against
very
dancehall.
Very much so. Very
for,
much
for
so.
For lyrics and the whole lifestyle associated with the dancehall.
Yeah.
But, hey. Young people are who generate and who drive the music industry all over the world.
Yeah.
And they say, let's try something new. And that is now stuck.
Right.
So
now the Denery segment has become mainstream.
So now we've seen Denery segment now become Caribbean. It's a new sound mm-hmm. in Caribbean.
Yeah.
So you have that. Listen, Showtime is the wickedest.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Let me tell you, I don't know if that's what I'm saying, so that song really keeps me nasty. That song is so wicked. The jump, that song is sick. But so we see him, so I saw Bungie Garland. The first time I heard that segment was when Bungie went across sometime last year, and he was talking about Denery segment. I was like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, speak up, and he was explaining what it is. I was like, I've never heard about this before, but I realized I know some of these songs, I just didn't know that it was called that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about the music now transcending St. Lucia? St. Lucia has now given, I mean, Creole and stuff, we know that's the culture of St. Lucia, but now you all have given us a sound
mm-hmm.
that's new and exciting.
Right. That's been one of my major goals from the time I started 7 years ago, to get either Marshall, Margie, whoever. Well, I mean, that's the two biggest ones.
Yeah.
That was my career goal.
Right.
And I actually accomplished that this year.
Nice.
Yes, and both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
So
you did the Guada Rhythm too?
Yeah, I did Guada Rhythm. So... basically,
you need new goals now, boy.
Yeah, the new goals is Rihanna.
put it out there.
Yeah.
But now you've seen it jump from being the underground outcast music of St. Lucia to being mainstream now. We have, you know, artists from St. Lucia have become, their songs are being played here.
Yeah.
You have Marshall on the Denery segment, Bungie on this Denery segment.
Yeah, I have to give Marshall props for being one of those kind of artists. Well, effectively the only artist who has utilized a lot of regional producers. More credit to him. St. Lucia, Jamaica, Barbados, Grenada, wherever, utilizing producers. So you were telling me about all the mainstream, how the mainstream in Trinidad City has jumped onto the Denery rhythm.
Yeah. I think people are looking for the next big sound, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People are out there looking, and there's so much unity. When we talk about Caribbean unity, and at the political level, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of it.
Right.
But when it comes to the music, we are certainly a very united Caribbean, because we work together.
This is the 60th anniversary of the foundation of the Federation.
Exactly, today that we're recording this.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
We got a little bit. But as I said, I think we understand, at least artists at the ground level understand what it is to work regionally.
Yeah.
Right. So that, St. Lucians, as you just said, the Denery rhythm is hot, and St. Lucians have now come to Trinidad, and Trinidadians are jumping onto the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know there are other islands and things who have done it. One of the islands that always struck me is Grenada, and I know you, Laura, have written about
the Jab
rhythm, and written about that whole Jab culture.
Yes.
And we know that in Point Fortin, there are a lot of Grenadian migrants back in the early 40s and things.
Mm-hmm.
Who came to Point Fortin. That's where Super Blue
and his
family, and we know Iowa and his family are from there, right?
Yes.
And as I said, the thing about it interests me about the Grenada rhythm is that Jab rhythm.
Yeah.
You had written about it.
They are very faithful to that Jab culture.
Tell me about that culture, that is interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost sounds like Juve music, but I know that's
It is probably Juve music. We can call it Juve music because Grenada does boast of having the best Juve in the world.
I have seen it.
Right. I've seen claims that Juve was really influenced by this. But I mean, I don't know how historically accurate that is, but I've seen that, you know. But they really do Juve on a bigger level than we do.
One of the things that has happened, one thing that I noticed, I should say, is that the Caribbean was one big space, certainly in the 19th century and the 20th century. So this notion of Trinidad versus Grenada versus St. Lucia is a kind of modern incarnation. Because if you wanted a job and you live in Grenada, you just jump on a boat
and you go
in Trinidad,
yep.
and you work in, right?
Yep.
Because we all part of the larger English colonies and so that it's quite apparent that music is also spread. I mean, as far as a Grenadian, and he came here as a child because his family said, "Well, I had to go to Trinidad to work," right? But the idea of I'm a Grenadian, he's a Grenadian producer versus a Trinidad producer is a kind of modern thing that we kind of have to push away from. And as you said, the soca artists have discovered, listen, we're all one Caribbean.
Yes.
Because certainly the international market, where we want to get soca to be big.
Yes.
They don't see us as individual islands.
No, they just see us as the Caribbean.
As the Caribbean, full stop.
I agree with you. And I think it will certainly benefit us if we come together and promote the cultures as a regional thing and not individual islands. Because we all stand to benefit.
Yeah, that's a political thing. But
we
don't talk politics. We hear that music.
Yes, yes. So the Jab. So, listen, you need to go Grenada Carnival to experience Juve. They do Juve all day for like 3-4 days.
And it seems to be the rare rotting.
It's
black
the rare
oil
rotting. You know, in Trinidad, we fancy. We have cocoa and chocolate. No.
Segregated
it is pure oil in Grenada. It is a ritual for them. Mm-hmm. They are about, listen, you're seeing pig head, bucket full
like
of congeri. Yes,
real
pig head, man, toting pig head. normal. They take their Juve seriously. Mm-hmm. And the Jab rhythm is the soundtrack to Grenada Carnival. They have developed a Jab culture that they have exported to the world. So Talpri, when they listen to his music, Talpri is the Jab ambassador. Talpri sings Jab music. Lava Man, they singing Jab music, you know.
Who's the fellow who was a wine on a big bottom?
Mr. Killer.
Mr.
Killer, funnily enough, he kind of mixes up his music. So you get a little reggae from Mr. Killer. So sometimes his soca is not always Jab.
Mm-hmm.
He tends to go out to the mall sometimes, you know.
You know, like any musician, you're trying to find a space and trying a thing.
Yes.
But I remember Talpri certainly as with that Jab rhythm.
Yeah.
And he is really, in my mind, that is. He kind of represented what Grenada soca was in a big way,
mm-hmm.
right? And well, our neighbor to the north, even further north, is St. Vincent.
Yes.
And we know that Kobayashi and Skinny Fabulous are prominent. They're kind of dominant in a lot of Trinidadians' minds and things.
Yes, definitely. And,
Laura, you've spoken to everybody. Tell me, who else are talking?
I've never interviewed Kobayashi. We've had informal conversation.
We've never actually interviewed with him. And we'll use. He wasn't even born in St. Vincent, but that's neither here nor there because he lives and he grew up in St. Vincent.
Yeah.
But Skinny Fabulous, one thing about Skinny Fabulous is his voice. He has that kind of rough
roll. He has a beautiful voice.
And his delivery that he makes that song. So famously, Marshall with Happiest Man Alive and him with I Behave in the
Yeah.
I could tell you from experience. I mean, yes, I like Happiest Man Alive, but when I heard Skinny Fabulous' voice, that was it.
Yeah.
Same rhythm.
Yeah.
And Kobayashi to me had this driving rhythm that really made sense, that Skinny Fabulous' voice kind of defined in a sense what that kind of raw roughness of what soca could and should be without being too polished in terms of production wise and then. But he has his music down and he just could drop the lyric and spit it.
What I love about St. Vincent, what you see emerging is that they've now branded themselves as the power soca capital of the region.
Okay.
Because we've gotten, Trinidadians have gotten very sweet.
Groovy. Blame William.
We've gotten very groovy. Everybody in love, you know, it's love and togetherness and everybody could sing. That's all nice.
I think that was really marketplace, you know. I mean, not every power soca was carnival day music.
We went far left though. Really groovy. Yes. So St. Vincent now stepped up. They're like, listen, we are power soca. You know what is groovy nonsense?
Yeah, so,
they boast about that and they're soca monarch. From what I understand, Vincy Massa my bucket list. Hopefully I can make it in 2018.
Yeah.
From what I understand, and the soca monarch is not for the weak or the faint of heart. And it's not where you don't go there to pose or dress up in your clogs and your clutch.
Yeah. Wear white.
Yeah, short pants and stilted boots. because it's rough, level madness. And you're seeing it, one of the Vincentian artists who've really made it big, not just in Trinidad, but the region, is Dynamite. Uh-huh.
Dynamite,
with his song Brave.
Brave,
Which is like real Vincy. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear any freneticness in it. You know, the Vincy twang coming out. And he's first time he's singing soca, just on a side note. First soca he sing. The man done signed deal with Sony. Man have a deal with Sony UK. You know, so that is a song we have to keep our eyes on because it's good, from what I understand, it's going to be remixed and re-released in the summer. So that is a song that's gonna have some legs.
So effectively, once it's in, as I said, summer just hit me that for the different North American market and Brit market, soca music is still viewed as summer party feel good music.
Yeah, because you see, and I think, and I know we're gonna discuss this in probably part two
in
of this discussion,
two,
but I think, I think that's one of the challenges soca has. Soca is such a happy party music. That the only time, you know, in temperate countries, they are that happy and partying and having fun in summer.
It's 4 months and it's warm.
Exactly. They ain't trying to hear nothing in winter. So it's usually, it's, you know, it's a feel-good summertime, pony short pants kind of thing.
As we're talking about soca in summer and feel-good and party music, I have a buddy from Anguilla, Crispin Brooks, shout out to you. He was explaining, he's kind of into the production and music business, certainly at the video end. But he was making me listen to some Anguillan soca music, all right? And the music further north, Antigua, Anguilla, as you talk about frenetic and jump up music, they also have this idea, they have this ideal version of what paradise is.
Right.
Green waters, white sand, a lot of tourists.
I want to go there.
Beautiful place, no tourists about it. You could drop your ring in the water and see it after 6 feet.
Oh, I want to go there.
The idea of what we know as power soca, they take it to the nth limit. I've listened to some Angolan soca music. It's like 180 beats a minute.
Oh, wow.
But it drives the island into that, their music.
Right.
Even Bahamas, which has Rican script, which is it's kind of connected to soca in a sense, and certainly where the Caribbean rhythm was. They have a lot of high tempo music and things.
Yeah.
So that
I find a lot of the islands, though, like I was listening to music from Cayman Islands. Mm-hmm. You know, they recently had one of their top band members died in a plane crash late last year. And I was listening to some of their music. It's the same thing. Very high tempo.
High tempo, It drives their music and almost non-melodic, but it works.
Because
the idea for a lot of those things is just to drive masqueraders on the road and let them go forward and move and that kind of thing. But then, as I said, we were just talking about the idea of groovy soca and how that music has become sweet. Because I always thought that soca has this kind of two sides. There's the soca for the road and there's soca for a fete.
Yeah.
So soca for the fete is this kind of groovy thing. And I always remember some years ago, the Bajan invasion.
Yes.
When Square One and these others came out, and Nicholas Branca was a producer, was dropping some seriously groovy music.
Mm-hmm.
And Hatrini's in Artisic.
And Edwin Yearwood.
Hatrini's in Artisic, and we couldn't handle it any longer. And things.
And listen, it's so much in Artisic that, do you know, that is what influenced Marshall Montano to that marked the turning point for Marshall. Because when that Bajan invasion happened, Marshall corralled his band in the house in New York.
There you go.
And said, we're not leaving until we have a hit song.
Song like that.
And that was the album.
With Big Truck?
Big Truck. The Big Truck album.
There you go. Big Truck, still a man's album. Still one of the best albums ever produced.
So the so it was good in a sense.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a, almost like a Bajan Invasion part two with the Red Boys.
With the Red Sydney Boys. Yes,
and
yes.
Marvey and
Marsville.
And everybody. And the music has a kind of sweetness. And we're talking about the idea of soca being Caribbean music, right? So that a lot we have artists there. I know Charles, Farmer Nappy, Patrice, they produce in Barbados and things. You ever interviewed the Red Boys?
I actually interviewed the Red Boys.
Because I know someone that is a Trinidad.
Well, he is a Trinidad. One is
Yeah, but so they have a certain amount of melodic melody and harmony that is really sweet and groovy and everywhere. Yeah. Likes it and thing.
One of our songwriters, Shaft, is very big in Barbados because he writes their last carnival. Shaft didn't write for in Barbados.
Oh, okay.
Although he works with the Red Boys as well, he's a producer himself, but he writes he writes and works with the Red Boys as well. So we have that collaboration happening.
Wow, this is it. So
yeah.
So as we see, I mean, the idea of soca being Caribbean music, we've kind of understood that. We already have examples from all those islands, but the kind of holy grail for a lot of soca and soca artists is to be kind of mainstream in the American market, in the European market, right? As I said, we're going to be talking to Keisha of Chandra Datsing, who has formed a label.
Yes, he just started his first soca label. Yeah, he just started his first soca label. As you know, Just Now, Keshav is half of a production duo called Just Now.
Yes.
And they operate in England. Mm-hmm. And they just signed a deal with
Bungie, among others.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they just signed a deal with Warner Brothers, Warner Music.
Yes.
So part of his what Keshav wants to do is really help to push soca globally. Mm-hmm. But he felt that in order to do that, he should have his own soca label so he could better, you know, produce a lot of soca music under that label and then probably use the Warner Music probably as a funnel.
The global music industry, Warner as a label is more about the thing now is distribution.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that artists basically creating new music, and creating is not the problem, it's distributing it to the listeners.
Yes.
Get it onto Spotify playlists, among other things. And that's where the big majors come into being, because they have the power and the money to get you.
And getting it organized, because how many soca labels do we actually have?
Do we have any?
That's the thing.
There you go.
So everybody's there. So they know the people like Bungie and Fianna signed to VP Records, but VP is essentially reggae.
Reggae, yeah.
You know, they're not really total soca. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in the North American market, there's a kind of sidebar. Soca is, they know that there's a thing called soca, but things like the charts, they actually say that reggae music incorporates West Indian rhythms, and they include the word calypso in it, so that as far as North American music business is concerned, soca music is reggae.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other topic which we won't worry about.
And that is something, you know, we really have to work hard at getting.
But are we kind of stuck on definitions. Yes, we invented soca in Trinidad, but we also say that soca is now Caribbean music. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure somebody in St. Vincent will wake up tomorrow morning and say, but wait now, we invent soca too.
Yeah.
Isn't there this whole notion of boundaries and blurring lines? Do we still have to persist on that? Not to say that soca
is reggae music. I don't think we should. Because it's so regional now. I don't think we need to harp on, you know, who started it, where it come from. It's regional. And it's also international, because you have DJs and producers in Europe.
Well, European scene, as you talk about European scene, I wanted to talk about Major Lazer's influence, but I know you had spoken to some European producers in terms of soca. Let me hear about that so we can get back to Major Lazer.
Yes, yeah. I've spoken to a DJ in Belgium by name of DJ Raka. Raka. Mm-hmm.
Raka,
who is, you know, he has developed a platform called Soaked in Soca, which is a series of events he has throughout Europe. Part of his DJ outfit, there's a Trinidad involved in the DJ outfit.
Yes.
And he's been playing soca for a long time as a DJ. Mm-hmm. So his intent is to spread soca and carnival throughout Europe, starting in Belgium. And he has massive plans for soca. Mm-hmm. Massive plans to help soca artists really properly do business on a professional level in Europe.
So now you are on a mission now to introduce soca to Belgium and I guess European countries where it's not known.
Yeah.
How are you doing this?
It started all with my DJ project. So I'm an underground mashup DJ.
Right.
I play old school hip hop, but I play also classics, R&B, trap, boombaton, drum and bass.
Right.
Reggae, dancehall. I play all that kind of genres. So I was like a party DJ.
Yes.
And that was like, after a while, pretty frustrating because it seems so, I don't know, so easy, meaningless.
Yeah.
And then I had something like, okay, now I, after a while, after work, it's now 17 years that I'm DJing. So I got now the opportunities to hit big stages in Belgium.
Right.
I just saw a project like, okay, I have a platform.
Now, so he's being really humble. Raka is a resident DJ at Tomorrowland. And if you don't know what Tomorrowland is, Google it. It is a massive EDM festival. Massive. So he's been pretty humble because he's accustomed playing for large audiences. Yes.
Okay, thank you for the awkwardness. So what was it saying?
So wait, when you play, because I've seen video and we've spoken about this, when you play soca, you try to teach people about the culture around soca, so the whining, the movements.
Yes, and that's the only genre that I always put up front in each set. But also because I'm the only DJ that kind of, in Belgium, there are a couple of other DJs that also play soca, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But nobody really gets the opportunity to play it.
Right.
And I just get booked as Raka, and I just take my opportunity to
Are you going to create opportunities where soca could be played? Like carnival?
Yeah. So 2 years ago, we started off with the first series of soca parties in Belgium. And that's 50-50 soca.
Right.
So we mix it up with moombaton, hip-hop, little bit of trap, classics, tropical house. But just so we can smooth it in. So people... Yeah, otherwise it's just too much for one night, listening 4 or 5 hours straight to music that you don't know.
No, right.
That's tiring for people. I understand that.
So he's a kind of entrepreneur looking to pull artists from there.
Yeah.
Now, our music industry is kind of fragmented. Everybody looks to the state to put money in.
Budgets
are trained, kind of small. We just really haven't got the amount of money. It is really up to our private sector individuals, wherever they are, to be those kind of anchors to pull us and help us, in a sense. So DJ Raka is going to be a landing point for artists in Europe.
That is his intention.
Out of Belgium. Producing music.
He's producing music as well, yes. Mm. He's working with... So for him to push the music in Belgium, which is not, you know, unlike probably, say, London or parts of Germany, soca is not known in Belgium.
Yeah.
So for him to educate Belgians about soca, he's looking to take soca music and that exists now and remix it, probably with some EDM or something that they're more familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And so to introduce it to them. Although he's not a fan of EDM soca. He likes soca in its authentic form, but he understands to make it palatable to that market.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like a resident DJ in Tomorrowland. And Tomorrowland is one of the biggest EDM festivals. So he understands what it would take to really get those people into soca.
So you take Soaked in Soca around to different countries as well?
Yeah. So we'll be, we organize as much with, we do as much possible collaborations with the party to get in as much possible locations.
Right. Are you doing any work with soca artists?
Yes.
You produce as well?
Yeah, I've been working the last 4 years in trying to find a honorable balance between Trinidad and Europe.
Right.
Because I don't want to put this wrong, but I don't want to use soca influence or instruments. I want to try to find a combination that works for the both.
Okay.
As well as Trinidad as Europe.
Right.
So far, the feedback on the productions in Europe is very good.
So you're making it palatable to the European market.
Yeah. I consider myself not as a soca producer, but soca stepping stone-ish right. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I'm also not a soca DJ. I never play 100%.
But you're trying to break the genre into a market that it's where it's completely unknown.
I'm just trying to get people in touch with the soca music culture and, of course, the history.
Right.
So that's why we're here.
As we're talking about EDM and mixing with soca music, of course, we can't not talk about Major Lazer.
Of course.
And Major Lazer's influence and Major Lazer's impact more so in terms of getting our rhythms and soca music inclusive onto bubbling under the charts, getting onto dance charts and things. And we know that he's worked with Marshall. We know that he's worked with Bungie. He's worked with Flippo. You know Flippo has changed his name to
Yes, he has.
I don't know why, but that's another story. I think he's actually just recently worked with Kes. They have a new song
called
Godot.
Yes.
So Major Lazer is reaching out to our top star soca artists to work with them. He has a recent album that he had done come up based on his documentary, as in his, but their documentary. And Give Me Future. And they included, as I said, whom used to call Flippo, Azaria.
Yeah.
A nice song called Love Life. So that the idea of producers, international producers, getting onto soca and trying to internationalize quote-unquote soca music by fusing it with rhythms that are happening internationally, globally, in the global music. I know years ago, in our attempt to make it, certainly in the very, very beginning, we were thinking of fusing calypso music with soul music and R&B music. Hence, you kind of misnomer what soca was, the soul calypso kind of thing. Of course, we know they've tried it with reggae music and ragga and all these kind of attempts and things. EDM, certainly for the last couple of years, there's been a lot of EDMification
of
soca music. And we also had some local remixers and DJs. The two that pop off to me, Badawi Asing and his group Detonator, Mario Callender and his collective iMario, they have taken soca music in a sense and almost removed every ounce of soca as we know it. But we've kept the melody, kept the voices, and we actually made the music make a lot of popular sense, so that we've had this idea that soca music can be dance music anywhere in the world, the same way that EDM is pop music anywhere in the world. It really stands that the ultimate aim of a lot of these artists are to make it this on this quote unquote international scene. And after I often wonder whether or not we have the confidence to actually say, well, listen, we're going to take the music as is, as we do it right here. And see if you can get it out.
You see, that's the thing. There just seems to be so when you talk to different artists, you get there seems to be so many schools of thought on what it would take for soca to break into that mainstream, whether it is the American market or wherever. I guess the American market really, because that's where everybody have their eyes on Billboard and that kind of thing. So there are artists who believe that they don't have to water down their music. They keep it authentic and they'll succeed with that.
Yes.
And then there are those who think that they have to collaborate with everybody under the sun. So you see Marshall, for instance, he collaborates with hip hop artists, reggae artists, everybody. African artists, that's a new thing now. Everybody collaborate with Africans. So it really is interesting to sit back as an observer and try to see who will, you know, reach the tape first. But the thing about it, when you talk to foreigners, for instance, the same DJ Raka, he thinks that we should keep it authentic because that is uniquely us. Why are we trying to water down with something else when it's uniquely us? And then you have people here like our friend Carolee Fifi, who is the founder of the Caribbean CDM. Dance Music
CDM Generation,
who believes that EDM soca is EDM and not soca.
And not soca music.
It is a subgenre of EDM, of CDM, really. And that soca artists should, you know, be careful how they define
definitions are important, as I said. Certainly with the North American market, they thrive on what is this and what is that, right?
And that could be soca, again, another challenge for soca, because soca is like a chameleon. And I think that reflects, yes, we sing, it's no longer a Trinidadian thing, but I think ultimately that reflects who we are as Trinidadians, because we are so chameleon in nature.
Yes.
Maybe because of our mix or whatever.
Well, Trinidad specifically is one of those places where everybody came to. So everybody is related to somebody
and
else
we,
in the
and
Caribbean.
We could be anything at any time. We absorb everything. Anything, anything the music reflects that of us. So I think that could be a challenge, because when you go, if I'm an A&R executive looking at this genre, and I'm trying to see, well, what can I do with it? Mm-hmm. How am I going back to my bosses to talk about this music? What is it? Because you look at one island, you're hearing one thing. You go to another island, you're hearing another thing. Uh-huh. Then you're hearing EDM, you're hearing love songs, you're hearing this jump and wave power soca, you're hearing ragga soca, you're hearing jab soca. Like, what is it? How do I define this? How do I sell this? How do I package it? How do I market it?
Well, I guess that's the challenge going forward in terms of truly globalizing the music. I mean, as I said, the idea of ownership and who owns the music is something we kind of hold on to. We're from Trinidad, we invent soca. It's kind of gotten away from us. Soca is now a regional music. More shall we shout out to the pioneers who started it all.
Yeah.
And it's gotten out there. We still have to break the glass ceiling in the sense of making it on the charts in a big way. I always have this thing about noting, certainly on the Billboard chart, you mentioned it. Famously, Kevin Littleout of St. Vincent.
He had Turn Me On.
And it got to like number 4 in the pop charts. More before that, from Montserrat, as we know, Arrow played the Hot, probably the most popular soca ever.
Yes.
But his version got on the charts. But when it was redone by Buster Poindexter, it got onto the American pop charts. So we see, and of course, the Baha Men won a Grammy.
Yes.
With Who Let the Dogs Out by
Anselm Douglas.
Anselm Douglas. whose version was just a popular song in Trinidad, but they won a Grammy with their version and thing. So the idea of Trinidadians still getting onto those charts on their own with their own music is still fleeting, but we're nearly there, right? And as we kind of looking at the business of soca and looking at the business of music in the world and thing, we still have some ways to go. And I guess in the next episode, we'll probably talk a little further about this, the kind of globalization of soca music.
Yes.
We certainly have some forays into Africa, and Laura, and we've done some research on that. We'll talk about that in the next issue. But for this issue, we're kind of wrapping this up now, but we'll continue talking about soca music, because soca music is regional music. Soca music is our music, and guess what? Soca music will be global music.
It will be.
I'm Nigel Campbell.
I'm Laura Dorridge Phillips. Thanks for tuning in to Music Matters,
the Caribbean edition.